Welcome to Season 2, Episode 9 of Des Moines Backstage, the Central Iowa Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bokart. Today we sat down with Karen Schaefer, John Viers, Lindsay Darlin, and Gabe Thompson, who are involved with the Des Moines Community Playhouse's production of Choices, which runs October 13th through the 29th at the Des Moines Playhouse. For more information on this production, you can visit dmplayhouse.com. This episode was recorded on Monday, October 2nd at the Des Moines Playhouse. Now, let's go backstage.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines backstage.
Backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa
Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines backstage.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines backstage.
Des Moines backstage. The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
All right, welcome to Des Moines Backstage, the Central Iowa Theater Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Bokart. Today we're sitting here with a few of the people involved with the Des Moines Community Playhouse's production of Choices, which opens October 13th, runs through the 29th. How's everybody doing today?
Great.
Absolutely great.
Great, great. Well, hey, go around the table here real quick and introduce yourselves just so our listeners know who all is here.
Me first?
I'll you go first.
Okay, I'm Karen Schaefer. I am the writer for Choices.
Lindsay Darland, I play Liz Mayfield in Choices.
Gabe Thompson, I'm playing Pete.
Pete, do you have a last name?
Roberts.
Pete Roberts.
Pete Roberts, there you go. And I'm John Viers, and I'm playing the artistic director of the Playhouse and the director of Choices.
Of Choices, great. And this is the world premiere of
the
Choices.
The world premiere.
A number two in the series of Karen Schaefer comedies that had their world premiere here.
That's right.
Well, tell us how you feel about that, Karen.
I'm pretty darn excited. Choices, you know, when the Playhouse decided to do Girls Weekend, I was absolutely beside myself. I don't think I slept for a month because I kept thinking, okay, something's going to happen terrible. And it didn't. And it was really wonderful. And then I thought, okay, that happened. That's great. That's wonderful. And then John came to me after we had done a public reading of
Choices.
In a
vision. It was at night.
Like the angel Gabriel.
He came to me.
He doesn't really talk to me.
I gave her a tablet.
It's ESP. It's scary. It really is. So John said, we're interested in producing Choices for you. And I was, again, just flabbergasted because to have it done, have that happen once was amazing, but to have it happen a second time just was, you know, it made me feel as if I was actually doing something right.
You're
gonna
make me cry.
The truth is, Schaefer Inc. is the company, and I was... I was visited by someone who was going to break fingers unless we did this.
Yeah, that's good. And Girls Weekend is doing very well. It's had tons of productions across the country.
It has. We've had four productions, not just in Iowa, and we've had we have another one in Newton. Coming up at it opens the end of this week. There are several places that are looking at it to produce it. It's now in the hands of Dramatic Publishing. So I have
no small feat right there. I mean, that's something to be proud of.
No control over it whatsoever, but I still get a paycheck. So that's super nice.
That's a good problem to have. That's the goal of all playwrights, right? Is to eventually not have to worry about it. Just
to get
the check.
To get paid for it. We hope that happens at times. But,
great.
Yeah.
Well, Lindsay and Gabe. We'll talk to John/Karen. Give us just a brief synopsis of what the show is about, so people will want to come see it. Because clearly, nobody's ever seen it.
Let me be slash. Karen can do a good job of describing it.
So it's about Liz Mayfield. She has everything that she could ever want. She has a successful business. She is financially sound. She has great friends. Her son has moved out of the house and is married and is also successful. And the one thing that she doesn't have is a life partner. Her husband passed away several years back, And so now her friends, her two best friends, Sammy and Kat, have decided that she now needs somebody to spend her life with. And they manipulate the situation. So one of the people that they set up, that's Pete Roberts, is a blind date. And the other one, Kat, manipulates Liz's online dating service to make it appear as though Frank Gates is a good match for her. And her two friends put money on it. And
like all good friends
all
would.
All good friends do.
Excuse me, spoiler alert, yeah. By the dozen here. Don't pay any attention to what she says. Edit this out, Kyle.
Edit this part out. So her friends do things to make it, to make them appear to be good matches. And they go on. The two guys find out about each other. And Liz makes the decision that she will date both of those men. And then it ends up that she says, okay, we're going to date at the same time, at the same time. Because the two guys can't trust each other. So when they go out on a date, all three of them are together.
That's hilarious. That's a really funny idea.
So that's what it's about.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I got my motivation.
Now you figured it out.
Get there.
Well, Lindsay, you obviously play Liz in this. Tell us about her.
Well, Karen gave you a very good overview
there.
But what I would add to that is she's also very trusting of all of these people, even though she gets a little assertive at times. She is independent, but she is also along the pathway of, yeah, they're kind of right. Her friends are kind of right when she starts dipping her toe in the pond. And it's really quite funny. We haven't really touched on that much. It's a comedy. It's a modern age comedy, which I really like. So the female characters in this are strong. They are strong-willed. They're very independent. There's no, how do you want to word it? The boys are not running the show.
That seems to be a theme in Karen Schaefer comedies,
yes.
Which is a good theme.
Yes.
Now, is this an out-and-out farce like Girls Weekend was?
No, it's a romantic comedy, so it's not a farce at all. There are some farcical undertones, but it's very, very different from Girls Weekend. So very different from Girls Weekend.
Mm-hmm. In a good way.
In a good way.
Right. Yeah. Good. Well, Gabe, tell us about your character a little bit.
Sure. So Pete Roberts, he's an IT professional. The play writes him as about 10 years younger than Liz, which I'm probably in real life 10 years older than Lindsay. So we're going to see what's in the Rogaine budget.
I think it's in real years.
I think Michael Davenport took the Rogaine budget.
Hey.
What did?
Who? Michael Davenport.
Oh, well.
Hey, who? Ah, ooh, he's, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
May I please have a toupee?
Yeah, sure. I love you, Mike.
There is no Michael Davenport in this play.
So Pete's an IT guy. He gets set up with Liz on a blind date and really kind of, I don't know if he blows it or not. Probably. I'd say he kind of blows it a little bit, but Pete has enough redeeming qualities, I think, as a character that he comes off as lovable. Very competitive dude, especially when it comes to the three-way dates. So there's a lot of fun moments, and I've worked with Peter Dean before, who plays Frank, and I think there's going to be some fun stuff for people to see in this. A lot of physical comedy, I don't even know. Like we've played with so many things, and you know, some stick and some don't, but we'll keep going with it.
It's
until
like
somebody
the
tells
Marx
us to
Brothers
stop.
Meet Noel Coward.
There's quite a crossover there. And we have seen, so you were also the fight choreographer. From what I've heard, some of that's been shared on Facebook and Instagram. And stuff like that.
And I come from a professional wrestling background, as you may or may not know.
I did know that.
Kind of a big deal. No, not really at all. So there's some of that in there because I can't do a fight without, you know, at least some notion of pro wrestling in it, but it's like two guys that don't know what they're doing in a fight, so we had to come up with something that, you know, what would two guys, you know, that don't know how to fight, don't have any training, how would they try to do this?
And it's you and Peter, right?
It's me and Peter. Yeah. Yeah.
So you're so. Two fairly one of them lunky
lifts,
guys.
Lifts
well.
The other one. So that,
there are. Yeah.
Well, he did fun. Once, and he keeps talking about chiropractor.
That's yeah, for so, after the show ends.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, John, what is the challenges and maybe opportunities of doing a show that hasn't been done before? Is that hard or is that freeing for you?
It's hard to go see another production of it.
There's no one to copy.
So damn, I have to be totally original. Nope, that's not the case. The real fun is hearing people do it when it's in the term of the theater on its feet. It's so different from a reading, even a staged reading where they stand up and do something and then sit down. But so you have to integrate the movement, the intent, and all of those things that work together when you're staging a play. And you find out some things that might have worked when you read it to yourself or when you heard it being read. It's not the same. Just like joke timing and how you pair one funny thing against another. And also, you have to take a lot of consideration into the fact that a different person is saying these words than you might have had in your head when you read the play. So those adjustments are made, and Karen is very good about that. We talk around, well, this isn't working. Do you think that's the, you know, what's the issue? Is it? And she comes back and says, change this word. And I say, well, come on, Karen, it's got to be more than that. And then she comes back with like three pages of changes. And so I'm not telling you anything about the process. I'm making that all up. It is so much fun to have these words being said in a play for the first time and trying to honor the writing and still make it work. And we do a little bit of tweaking and changing things around to do that.
Great. And Karen, speaking on that note, what is sort of your involvement in the rehearsal process? Because I know some playwrights would want to say, my play's done, here you go. And some, you know, like John said, might be making changes up until
there are writers that
night.
Do that? I don't know any writers that do that.
The worst thing, I'm going to interrupt here. The worst thing is she gives me like a half a page to look at and say, do you approve this? And I say, yeah, well, let me think. Okay, yeah, yeah, okay. And then 2 minutes before the rehearsal, she says, I've decided not to make that change.
For me, it's just listening to the words and seeing how they land, how the jokes land, and watching what happens when it's on their feet. Because a lot of times, not necessarily the voices in my head, but you have a certain idea about what the timing is going to be and how that's all going to happen. When you get up on your feet, that suddenly changes. And so you have to have a clear idea and be willing to make those alterations to the script. And I've always wanted to make the show better. So I've never had a problem making changes. As a matter of fact, I think I've brought more changes to John than he suggested. Just because I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, this isn't working. Let's make this better. Let's make it right for the team. And then, you know, occasionally John will have his roll of duct tape. Then I'll be talking too much and he'll go, here's the duct tape, Aaron. Yes.
It must be hard because as a playwright, you have to wear so many different hats. You know, you have to think like a director and you have to think like an actor at times, and it seems like it's a very fluid process.
It is, but I have to tell you that I have an amazing team that works with me as we're going through the creation process. Lindsay was actually part of that team, and so she sat through the five table reads that she played a different character, but she sat through the different table reads, and then I also have Kathy Pingle as my editor. She has a great eye for, you know, directing and what movement is going to work and what will not work. And sometimes my ideas, I'll have an idea and she'll say, that's not going to work. I said, okay, tell me how it does work and we'll tweak this till we get it because I want this in here. So we have an amazing team of individuals who help me with the words, help me see the picture, help me tell the story. And I couldn't be doing what I'm doing without the entire group, not just the people who helped me do the readings, but also the Playhouse, who assembled these amazing production teams, and they're so creative, and they give me so much. It's just, it's been a wonderful process. We have so much fun.
Yeah.
We really have a lot of fun.
Go ahead and mention who else is involved with the show, tech-wise, and, you know, rest of the cast and production team and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, Max Schaefer is like a silent partner. He lurks in the background and protects his investment in the show, and also does the sound for us. And then Nick Amundsen is the guy who was part of the Young Frankenstein team that won all the Chloris Awards just a month or so ago. He's doing the scenery, and it's really crisp and sharp and minimalist while saying a lot, and took the concept that Karen had of having it all pretty much there all the time and made it work so that we didn't have to have an entire house sitting over there that we're not using for three of the four scenes in a row. So sorted all of that out. The costumes, Angie Lampe is just the best at making the costumes work. And this really the stage manager and the we've had a shift crew in here for now 2 weeks because we want
and that's not even tech week.
No,
yet.
It's it's a week till tech week, the traditional tech week. And so we do that so that we can really make precision based choices on how
Yes.
And so it is a very good team, and everybody's passionately devoted to the success of the show.
Come see it.
Come see it.
Come see it more than once.
Contrary to popular opinion, it's not about something that that they show you in social sciences class where it's telling you not to do drugs. That's not it. That's another thing called choices.
It's not the DARE program.
there are good choices and there are bad choices.
Yeah, where does the title come from, Karen? Just
it's
out of curiosity.
The reason I came up with the title was because we were offering Liz multiple choices throughout the play. And she is making choices all the time. So I like to go with simple titles that you will recognize when you see them again. It tells the story, helps tell the story. So I think that it's appropriate for this play with all the choices that not only Liz, but the guys make and the other women in the show make. So there's a lot going on.
They have to sit and look at menus all night and decide what to order. Those are some serious choices there.
That's important. Yeah.
Most of this play takes place in a restaurant. So telling the truth, try to direct a show where people will naturally be sitting for hours at a time.
That's no small task. It's hard to make that interesting.
Yes. Well, I've had help.
That's true. Yeah, like you said.
Josh,
they're all doing a good
Josh
job.
Josh Bisnapu is assistant director, and he's doing a great job, too. Don't want to leave him out of this. He's got a great head on his shoulders, and he can actually talk to people, which helps.
That's true. Yes. Yes. He's very good.
Yes.
Great. Well, like I said, this opens October 13th, runs through the 29th, and there's no show on the 27th, correct?
Special holiday for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Great. So don't try and get tickets for the 27th. If you want to get tickets, go to dmplayhouse.com, or you can call the box office or stop in whenever they're open. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Des Moines Backstage. Please subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. My favorite app is the Pocket Casts app. Also, if you'd like us to feature your next production as an episode of Des Moines Backstage, you can send us a message on our Facebook page. Thanks for listening.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines.
Des Moines Backstage.
Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage.
Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
The Central Iowa.
Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines Backstage.
The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.
Des Moines Backstage.
Des Moines Backstage. The Central Iowa Theater Podcast.